Well, awesome. Isn't that our story, you know? That story. I don't know if I'm the only one in here, but I was kind of thinking as I was watching that video, man, I wish I could, like, talk like I'm rapping. Like, how cool would that be, you know, if there was music behind when you're on the phone with somebody? Anyway, maybe I'm just in my own little world, and I just think those things. But anyway, today we're continuing in our series called Every Story Matters. And if you've been with us over the last couple weeks, if you missed it, go listen online. A lot of ground we've been covering about God's heart for people. That's what we've been talking about, God's heart for people and how God wants to connect your story, really his story, to your story and my story and to the stories of people all over the world, because every story matters to God. I want you to think about this question for a moment today. Here's the question. How has Jesus made an impact on your story? How has Jesus made an impact on your story? We were just singing, what a beautiful name it is, and what a powerful name it is, right? Some of you know, like, whoa, I have encountered Jesus in such a real way that that's my story. How has Jesus made an impact on your story? Now, some of you may be kind of like, I don't know, I showed up to church and I'm trying to figure that out, you know, that we're so glad you're here. But the thing that's fun about one of the things that's fun about getting to be the pastor of this church is I get to sit in the chair where I get to hear a lot of your stories. I get to hear a lot of your stories, and what I know is that everybody's got a different story. Some of you have stories that are maybe a little bit like mine, where maybe you grew up kind of around the church, in church, maybe growing up knowing about God and the scriptures and stuff like that, and. But I imagine that if that's you, that maybe there was a place, point in your story, like mine, when Jesus became real to you. You know, when for me, there was a place in my life where I went from being a, you know, just kind of a church goer, right? And when I started to see that the things that we've been talking about in this book, in the Bible, how it intersected my life, and I realized, whoa, Jesus, you have become real. Like, I realized that the life that I have was fine, but you were offering an abundant kind of life and a purpose that was bigger than me. And if that's you, I imagine it's one of those things that has shaped everything about who you are. Maybe some of you have stories where you just went through a difficult season in your life, right? Maybe you're going through that right now, right? But you went through a difficult season where it was a loss of something, a loss of someone. There was a transition that happened that you didn't expect or that you didn't want. And in that season, in the middle of that dark time, maybe Jesus' presence and his love just carried you. I know that's some of your stories. You know, maybe his love and his presence just carried you. And in that dark season that you said, man, this is a place that I never wanted to be. I never had planned, never had on the radar. I never want to go through that again. But that's the season when Jesus became real for you, where Jesus became the anchor of your life. Maybe for many people, many of you have stories that maybe look a little bit more like the prodigal son that we talked about a couple weeks ago, because maybe you were just kind of running in your life. Maybe not running necessarily away from God, some of us were, right? But maybe you were just kind of running life on your own, right? Trying to chase happiness and chase contentment in so many different ways. You go off to college and you're chasing happiness in so many different ways. Maybe you went into the real world, and you know something inside of you said, you know, the way that I'm going to find this contentment and happiness is if I can just climb the corporate ladder in the company. Like if I could just get to that place and that position. Like if I could be, you know, from where I am to where I want to be, you know, in my accomplishments, then I'll be happy. Or maybe we look around, and that's really in any way. We look around and we say, man, if I could just be not where I am right now, but if I could be there instead of here, if I could be in that house, if I could be in that neighborhood, if I could be in that place, if we could be in this situation. And so maybe we look around and maybe you said, you know, if I could just meet that girl someday, if I could meet that guy someday, if we could just get married someday, then we'll be happy. Then we say, well, maybe if I can just get a family, if we just have a family, then I'll be satisfied and I'll be content. And all those things are good. But you get to the end of that and you realize, man, there's still something more. I'm still not truly satisfied at the depths of who I am. And maybe in that moment, one day you allow Jesus to run into your life and to change your story. You know, one of the things that I love, we talk a lot about God's love here, right? And God's love is a big deal. God's grace is a big deal. But I want you to hear that God doesn't just love us, God doesn't just welcome us, But the truth is, Jesus wants to change your story. Jesus wants to change your story. In fact, his love isn't a soft, snuggy love that just says, okay, just stay where you are, right? He always calls us. He always leads us to a changed life. And so here's the thing, no matter what your story is, my hunch is today that no matter where you are, for all of us who have encountered Jesus, there was probably someone in your life, maybe many people in your life, who loved you enough to share their faith with you, to invite you to that experience at church, who maybe invested in your life so much that you got close to seeing who they really are and the God that they actually serve. And because of their investment in you, that's what that through their life, they have changed your story forever. Because that person loved you enough to help bring you or help lead you closer to Jesus. And that's really what we're talking about today. We're talking about how we can help to change people's stories by being a bringer. Let's say that together, be a bringer. Be a bringer. That's what we're talking about. Be a bringer, right? You know, last week I shared a lot of vision with you. If you were here, if you missed it, go listen online. But I shared a lot of vision with you and about our heart as a church and the culture that we want to have, part of the culture we want to have. And really our heart, and I don't mean even organizationally, but the heart of this church community is to reach this community with the love of Jesus. Amen? Isn't that what we do, right? We want to reach this community with the love of Jesus. And I shared last week through a lot of different stadiums, every seat in the stadiums, how there is about 140,000 people within a five-mile radius of this school who are not connected to a local church. Oh my goodness, right? Now, here's the thing. I shared, because of that, I shared this big vision that God keeps calling us to and leading us to, and that's to work to double in size as quickly as possible. Not to wait till we get into a church facility to turn on the engine even more, right? But to work to double in size as quickly as possible. Because it's like, well, is that because we just love a big crowd? Well, I mean, that's fun, right? But no. Is it because we're just all about the numbers? No. I have to tell you, we count things, right? Because people count, right? It's because every number has a name. Every name has a story, and every story matters to God. God wants to change everybody's story. And he wants to use you and me and this church to help do that. And so some of you may have left last week after hearing that, and you may have been just fired up and excited. You may have been like, man, that's awesome, and just fired up about how you can do that. Some of you may have left last week and hearing that, and maybe you were just dreaming. Maybe you talked in the car about, like, man, how could we do that? Well, dreaming about possibilities of how you can help further that mission of helping to connect Jesus to every person. But maybe some of you felt a little bit overwhelmed. Like, oh my goodness, like, what does that even look like? And what does that even mean? And does that change a lot of stuff that we love and all sorts of things? Or maybe you were just kind of nervous about, what does that mean for me? Maybe you're serving in all these different areas and you're thinking, oh my goodness, we have, if the church doubles in size, and oh, I don't know if I could do all these things. Let me put your reservations and your anxiety to rest, because here's the fun thing. Everything we do as a church is scalable. As the church grows, more people more people in. Everybody gets to experience how God's using them and working in their life through that. And so it's going to be more and more and more and more fun as we continue to go, right? And so if you maybe have been nervous or feeling overwhelmed about kind of a big vision like that, it's okay. Any kind of big vision from God should feel a little bit overwhelming if it's from God. But I want you to know that when God calls us to something, he doesn't call us to do it by ourselves. He calls us to do it as a community. And he calls us to lean on the power of the name of Jesus, his power working in and through us to accomplish it. And so today we're going to get really, really practical about how do we do that? Like, what does that look like? Like, okay, we want to help connect our community to Jesus and my friends and people in my sphere of influence. What does that look like? And we're going to look at a story of four friends who did whatever it took in order to lead their friend, to get their friend to Jesus. And it's a story we've looked at before as a church, but the reason I want us to look at it today is because this story gives us this super practical strategy of how God can use you and me to impact people in our community and in our world. And so what we're going to do is we're going to actually read the story a little bit differently. We're going to read the end of the story first. It's not the normal way you do it, right? You usually start at the very beginning, very good place to start, if you know Sound of Music. Anyway, tangent. But anyway, we're gonna read the end of the story first, and we're gonna see what happened in this person's life. And then we're gonna go back and look at the beginning to see why it happened, okay? So let's jump into the middle of this story, Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 5. And here's what it says. It says, he, that's Jesus, said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blasphemying." Right? It says, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" In other words, the only one who can forgive sins is God. And so if you're saying that you can forgive sins, then what you're saying is, and he's like, "Hello," right? That Jesus is God. Here's what it says next. It says, "Eat immediately." Jesus knew in his spirit that that was what they were thinking in their hearts. Wouldn't that be awesome as a parent to know what your kids were thinking in their hearts, right? At every moment, right? You would be so much of a better leader, right? You'd be so much of a better parent, right? But anyway, Jesus knew that. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking those things?" He says, "Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?'" And he says, "But," verse 10, he said, "but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." In other words, I want you to know that Jesus, that I'm God, right? That's what he's saying. And so he said to the man this, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Says it to a paralyzed man. And here's what happened, verse 12. He said, he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them, right? This is crazy. A guy who has not been able to walk his whole life, right? Or at least for a long time, he gets up and he walks at the power of the name of Jesus when Jesus says, "Get up." And here's what happens. It says, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I mean, if you saw this in real life, like, that would be what you would be saying too. This amazed everyone, right? Now, here's the thing. We don't know a lot about this paralyzed man's story. We don't know his story. But what we do know is that his story was changed forever when his life-altering disability intersected with the life-giving power of Jesus, right? This is what happens when God connects with somebody's life, when our Creator who made us and who loves us, when God connects to somebody's life, you know? But did you catch how they respond? Let's look at, again, verse 12. I love this. Wouldn't this be cool, verse 12, wouldn't this be cool as you go out to be a bringer? Isn't this what we want, everyone? Wouldn't it be cool if this is what was said about their story? When everybody saw what Jesus was doing in their life, wouldn't this be cool? This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I mean, isn't that what we want? Like, that's what we want to see done, Jesus do in the lives of people in our spheres of influence. That's the story we want to see done in people's lives throughout this whole community. It was such an unbelievable impact that nobody could deny it, right? And so I think it's important to see here that what moved Jesus' heart was not really about physical healing. Did you notice that? It wasn't really about physical healing. Yes, I mean, he was unable to walk or possibly move. We don't know if he's paraplegic or what, right? But he's literally unable to move. And we can't even solve that today. Do you realize that? We can't even fix that today in people, right? And yet, by a spoken word of Jesus, all of a sudden, this guy's life is changed. But what moved Jesus wasn't about the physical healing, as bad as that was, as badly needed. See, Jesus was actually moved by a much deeper spiritual need in this guy's life. And I think it's important to know, and it's the same spiritual need that's inside of all of our lives that moves the heart of God. It was to see our sins forgiven and to see us connected with God, every person. That's what moved God. And I think this is just a reminder for us that physical needs are really, really important to God. Like, it's really, really important to God, physical needs, but it's not everything. And I think what it means is we need to be praying for those things, and we need to be helping as the church to care for people who have different needs physically, right? But if the only thing we're praying about, if the only thing we're dreaming about is someone's physical well-being, then we've missed what Jesus is saying, the number one thing in someone's life that can change somebody's story in every direction and can change somebody's eternity forever. It's the number one need, is the spiritual need inside of all of us. And I was just looking at this and I was just thinking, like, you know, like, what if we got that fired up? What if we were so fired up to help connect people to Jesus, the spiritual need, that we were moved with compassion in an even greater way than we are to even meeting people's physical needs, right? All those are important, but Jesus is concerned with the greatest need. But I think this is an amazing story of life change. It really is. It's a great story of life change. But this is a story that's really about what happened before that. It's really about how this friend got to Jesus. And I wanted to check out what it says. Mark chapter 2, the very beginning, starting with verse 1. This is right before that, right before what we just read. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. It says, they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left. So the house is packed out, right? It says, not even outside the door. And Jesus, he preached the word to them. It says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Verse 4, it says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, what did they do? They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. And then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw, what does it say? Their faith. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it's kind of like a lot of times what we think is it's just about me and God. It's just about someone else's walk and God, right? But it says that when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of those four friends, when Jesus saw how much they believed that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, that it would make all the difference in his life. When Jesus saw their faith, that's when Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that interesting? I think it just shows us that most people come into a connection with God. Most people come to know Jesus on the arm of somebody else. Did you know that? Most people come to Jesus on the arm of somebody else. This is the same thing when it comes to coming to church. Yes, Google is great, and yes, signs are great and all that, but did you know that most people all throughout this country decide to come to church for the first time on the arm of somebody else? It's because a friend brings them. Somebody invites them. That's the number one way. And so it's an invitation. It's sharing their faith, sharing their story on the arm. Because, and I think this just shows that a friend's faith is oftentimes a catalyst for someone else's faith. A friend's faith is oftentimes the catalyst for someone else's faith. And you know that. You could probably look at your own story. I mean, who are those people in your life who are the catalyst to your faith? I mean, for me, I kind of grew up in church. For me, it was my parents. Like, you know, we kind of grew up in church, raised in church. It's kind of what I knew. They were the catalyst. They were those someones, right? Maybe for you, it was a teacher, a mentor, somebody in your life. You know, but what I want to focus on is not, did you notice what the guys did when they got to Jesus, or when they got him to Jesus and they couldn't get him in the house? Do you notice how they were digging through the roof? Isn't that, like, that's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible, digging through the roof, breaking through barriers in order to get somebody to Jesus. But we're not going to focus on that today. I'm going to hold back as much as I can on one of my favorite parts of all Scripture, because I want to show you today the method. We're going to focus on the method of how they brought this man to Jesus. The way that they did that, the method that God wants us to use is this, is to be a bringer. Be a bringer, right? And so what I want to talk with you about is what does it mean to be a bringer, right? What does it mean to be a bringer? Being a bringer, if you notice in the story, it's kind of two things. There's two things that they did. They went to their friend, right? That was the first thing. They went to their friend, and at the same time, they brought him to Jesus, right? It was both things. They went to their friend out in the community, and they brought their friend to Jesus. And so I think this is the method that God wants us to use to help reach people and impact people's lives. And it means that wherever we go, wherever we go out to people and we bring them to Jesus, right? So notice being a bringer, it's two things. It's the going out and there's the bringing too. And we're called to do both. In fact, did you know that the gospel, there is a go aspect to the gospel, right? There's a go aspect to the gospel. In fact, you can't spell gospel without go, right? That's pretty corny, but you'll remember that. But the Great Commission, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, right? It's this commissioning to go. At the end of Jesus' life, Jesus says, as my Father has sent me, even now I'm sending you. There's this go part of the gospel. And so I think that this means that for us, how do we go out and how do we bring to? We got to do both. It means that we're called to bring the gospel to people. That's the going out. And we're called to bring people to the gospel. You know, we're either bringing the gospel to people, going out in the community to bring Jesus to people through our lives, or we're bringing people to experience the gospel. Or you could say it like this, we're either bringing the church to people, right, or we're bringing people to church. We got to do both things. And so let's talk about the going out part. What does this mean? How do we get real practical? You know, one of our core values about going out, one of our core values as a church is that we go where people are to lead them closer to Jesus. We go where people are to lead them closer to Jesus. It's because we live in a culture today that's different than it was 50 years ago. In a lot of ways, right? In a lot of ways. But in this way especially, 50 years ago, it was in America, it was kind of a culture where everybody was kind of in church generally. It was kind of like which denomination you went to, right? Did you go to the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church? Everybody kind of went to church, right? And it was a situation where if you weren't a Christian, you kind of said, well, yeah, we're Christians, right? It was kind of a cultural Christianity. Whether you knew Jesus or not, you kind of felt like you should be a Christian. And it's the same thing with church 50 years ago. It was one of those things where there were people who didn't go to church for sure. But in a lot of ways, there was this culture where people felt like if they weren't going to church, that they ought to be. It's like almost like they felt guilty if they weren't, and that is not the culture we live in today, right? Not at all, right? And some of that's good because in some ways God uses different culture like that we're in now to help to refine and to break us from cultural Christianity that's watered down and lukewarm, and God wants to turn us loose now to show people that Jesus is real, right? And so here's the thing. We live in a culture today where church and Jesus just isn't really on people's radar. A lot of people, it's just not on their radar. And many people today are just, it's not that they're against Jesus. It's not that they're against church. I mean, you look at studies and most spirituality is an all-time high, right? People are not against church and they're not against Jesus. It's just not really part of their life yet. In fact, if you didn't grow up in around faith, you know, there's a lot of people that are just kind of like, man, I just don't see how this is relevant to my life. Because so many times people have seen a disconnect between the spiritual stuff that happens and their everyday life. This is why we try to help you to connect the dots here, right? But a lot of times people aren't in church today because it's just kind of, I'm busy, right? I mean, how many of you are busy? How many of you can relate to that? We have like two busy people. Yeah, a few of you admit that you're busy. Some of you are so busy, you're like, I'm so busy, I can't even raise my hand, right? Like, this just takes more work, right? But so many times we're just busy and we got other things going on. And so Jesus and church is just one more list, one more thing to do. And so, but this is why we just believe in order to reach people who aren't being reached with the gospel, we've got to do things that aren't being done very much. And what that means is instead of just putting out a sign and saying, y'all come, right? What it means is the best way to reach people for Jesus is through you. The best way people experience Jesus is through you and through me. In fact, one of the things that's the craziest thing, I just imagine, put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. They've been following Jesus for 3 years. They'd be like, you know, Jesus does some cool miracle, and they're like, that was real cool, Jesus, you know? They're like just watching Jesus do his stuff. And this whole time, Jesus was training them up for not just being a Christ follower, but what does it mean to be a Christ follower? It means that you also are one who makes disciples. That's what it means to be a Christ follower, that you not only follow Christ, but you go make disciples. And so Jesus was training them up, and so he dies on the cross, and they're like, oh man, now what do we do? He rises from the grave and it scared them to death. And then he comes to them and he says, I want you to go into all the world. Hey guys, I want you to go into all the world. And I want you to make disciples of me You know, I want you to go into all your spheres of influence, right? I want you to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, immersing people in God. And I want you to teach them everything that I've commanded you. And remember as you go, I'll be with you always. And Jesus goes up to heaven, right? And just imagine how they must have felt, like, so, guys, what are we supposed to do? Are we really the hope of the world? Like, the world is so in trouble, right? If we're the hope of the world, if this is the only way to get the gospel out, the world is so in trouble. But yet, God was with them. And they started going into their spheres of influence and going to different communities and sharing about Jesus. And if you read the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit fell on the believers, the first thing that happened the first day is I believe the church grew by like 3,000 people. They gave their life to Jesus that day. They're like, whoa, that was cool. Jesus was using them. And they started healing people, and they started just in community with people. It was so attractive that people were just like, they were experiencing Jesus all over the place. And here we are today, about 2,000 years later, in churches all over the world, all because disciples have been making disciples, have been making disciples, have been making disciples. Jesus said, you know what? You don't have to be perfect to be used. Go into all the world and be the church for the world. Be the presence of Jesus. Be the light and the love of Christ in your neighborhood, in your schools, in your workplace, in your community, in your world. See, people need to see Jesus, the real Jesus, in you. That's God's plan. And so that's why we really believe that in order to impact this community, we can impact this community best when the people of the church are out in the community, invested in this community. And you don't have to be perfect to do that. Praise God. None of us are. But what it means is that you are a perfect picture of the impact Jesus can make in somebody's life. So go be in the world. You know, these four guys, they didn't wait around on their friend, their paralyzed friend, by the way, to somehow make his way to the house where Jesus was. They didn't say, well, you know, he didn't eat his Wheaties today. He's not going to get there. So we'll miss you, buddy. No, they love this guy so much. Like, they cared about this guy so much, they're like, no, you are not going to miss seeing Jesus. And they went to their friend in their community to be a bringer, right? And so it just shows us that the gospel requires the people of the church to go and the church to be the church within our world and within our community. Here's what Christine Kane, she once said this. She said, you can't change the world you aren't in. Isn't that interesting? You can't change the world you aren't in. At the same time, check this out. You can't change the world that you are the same substance of. Right? In order to transform the world, it means that Jesus first has to transform you. Right? It means it starts with your faith. Right? But the best thing that we can do to reach our community and to make a difference for Jesus is for God to send out spirit-filled, Jesus-filled people into the world, into our spheres of influence. And so that's what I want to encourage you to do. And here's what it is, to be a Jesus-filled presence in your world. To be a Jesus-filled presence in our world. So it's like, okay, great, what does that mean for me? Great, I'll be Jesus-filled and in the world. But here's what it means. It means that we've got to make God's mission personal. It means that we've got to take responsibility to be involved within our community, because our community needs the church. They need us, the people of the church, to be the light and the love of Jesus wherever we go. And that's why we really have a simple structure here at the Fountain. We don't have activities happening every hour of every day, right? On purpose. It's because we believe in being super focused on what's going to help make disciples in the best way. And so we have a lot that happens here on Sunday mornings. We got church that happens, a couple worship services. We got student ministry stuff and kids ministry stuff. And one of the things that we're really passionate about is instead of having everybody in a class somewhere tucked away and nobody to greet them and nobody to welcome them, we have people serving in so many different ways on Sunday mornings in order to create the absolute best, the most welcoming environments we can. In order to create the best kids and student environments that we can, right? And so if you serve in any kind of way, thank you for what you do. It's a big, big, big deal. So a lot happens on Sundays, and then if you're involved in a refresh group, that's maybe one night a week, right? But the outside of that, that's pretty much what we do. And it's because we want you to be in your spheres of influence. We want you to be in this community, making an impact for Christ wherever you go. This community needs your presence. And it's not about what you're doing, it's about being a Christ-filled, a Jesus-filled presence in the world. We got to be involved. And so how can you be involved in the community? Well, I just want you to think of ways that you could use your gifts, ways that you could use your interactions, ways that you can use your interest and your connections to serve and to be present in this community. For instance, one of the things you could do is maybe you start serving in the school and schools somewhere, right? Wherever your kids go to school, you could serve in the schools, right? Join the PTO if you want to, volunteer. It could be that there's a lot of people who are a lot of business people who, man, you know what? Like, there are some really cool God connections that can happen, especially as we're talking about land and facility and stuff like that, that can happen through relationships. Like, man, I tell you what, there's a lot of cool connections that could happen if we're invested in the Chamber of Commerce and in this city stuff that's going on, you know? You just never know how God's going to use that kind of stuff. It means that we can be involved, more involved in your neighborhood. Don't join the HOA and write people bad letters, right? But find a way to serve in your neighborhood. It means being intentional and relational as your kids go out to their ball games, right? To connect with people. One of the things we do a lot is we just go to the park. Man, there's so many things that happen at the park. Your kids are playing, somebody else's kids are playing, and you have all these God conversations with people. Hey, tell me about your life. Oh, we just moved here 3 weeks ago, and we don't know anybody yet. We're so desperate for community. We're like, you start talking to somebody, and you just never know where that's going to go, right? So what are some ways that you could be involved and around people in this community? You know, for me, one of the things that I do is I mentor a child every single week through the school system. I'm part of the Forsyth County Mentor Program. I do that every single week here at this school. We have several people that do that in various schools in our community. Really cool. And it's not just about that one kid, but that one kid, everyone matters, right? In fact, I mentored three students. And the first student I got to see graduate through, go on to middle school. The third student I got to see go all the way to middle school. I'm getting ready to get a new student this time. But the second student, I started realizing how much the need is in people's lives, because not long ago I got a phone call one day, and it was the principal, and she said, "Hey, I don't know if you've heard about the murder that just happened up there, but it was your kid. It was the one that you've been mentoring." And in that moment, I realized that what I was doing for one, what sometimes felt like checkers and just talking to somebody, I realized how much it actually mattered. And so the principal is, you know, real upset, and I go up to the school, and she shares that with me. And in that moment, what I realized is that I was not only being the person who was told this stuff, but all, in that moment, everyone was looking to me to be the pastor of the school. And so what I found is, like, by mentoring one student, I've gotten to know almost every teacher in here. And you just never know if you're involved in the community what God will do. One of the things Mandy and I do, we try to go to as many football games, high school football games as we can. Why? Because the whole community's there, right? Even if you don't like football, we put on our fountain shirt. We did it this past Friday. We go to the games just to be involved in the community. And one of the things that happens is Mandy and I have so many God-shaped conversations with people because we're in relationship already with so many people and with so many groups. And you never know what God's going to do through those. So be involved. And so what if we all looked for those opportunities to be present, and so that we could be the presence of Jesus in our community? And we do this in a lot of different ways as a church. We're going to keep doing it even more intentionally. If you're in a refresh group, some of your refresh groups went off after your last message, and you've been already dreaming about ways that you could serve in our community. Praise God. Like, we just want to, like, you know, dub you and send you, right? We just want to say, go get them, right? And the reason we're going to give you some sheets about ways that you can, you know, some information about opportunities that you could be a part of. But I want to encourage you to be dreaming about some of those things. How could you lift a burden? How could you be a blessing? How could you invite people? There's different ways that you can serve. And the way it becomes purposeful is that just going into the world is not what Jesus calls us to do. Just go into the world. That's not it, right? That's part of it. It's not what Jesus calls us to do, but we go into the world to show people and to bring people closer to Jesus. That's what it is. And so if there's some way that does that, go do it as a group, right? But we also offer a lot of strategic opportunities, and we don't do everything under the sun, but we offer very specialized strategic opportunities that's going to help connect the most people as a church. And we do things like the Splash Bash. Some of you came to the Splash Bash last month. It was awesome. I rode the water slide a few times. It was awesome. But we had like 60 brand new people that came to church that day because you did a great job inviting them, you know? Coming up this Christmas time, we're going to have the Christmas with Santa event again. We're working out the time and the details right now. That's just a really cool outreach. We had over 300 people come last year. And so be a part of those things when we do them, the ice cream thing in a few weeks. But the other thing is we need to remember what it means to be a bringer. It also means that we also have to bring people to Jesus. And it means that sometimes we don't realize the number one thing we can do for our community is what we do within our ministries as a church. Like sometimes we think that, you know what we do out there is for our community, and what we do in here, you know, in our worship services and our serve teams and our refresh groups, that's for us. No. There are so many people who have met Jesus here within our community, and the number one thing we can do is to create the best experiences, the best ministries that you can be proud of to invite your friends into. So be a bringer by bringing somebody to church. Think of people in your spheres of influence that you can invite. And it's not the only way somebody can experience Jesus, but we've seen countless people who have encountered Jesus here. And so why would we not want more people to experience that? What God is doing here as well. And so, you know, the truth is you are where you are today because someone got the courage, someone took the time, someone had the nerve to be a bringer for you. And so here's the question I want to leave you with. Who is your one? Who is your one, right? Who are those people in your life and your spheres of influence that God has placed in your life so that you could be a bringer? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the way that you not only want to work in our life, but how you want to work through our life. And Jesus, I just pray that as we consider what the mission that you call us to be part of, how you want to lead us not only to life, but you want us to be a part of a purpose, your purposes. God, I just pray that you would help us to see ways that we can be involved in this community, how we can connect with people, how we can use our gifts and our talents and who we are in order to be used by you. God, I pray that as we go out, that you would help us to bring Jesus to people. But God, as you also call us to bring people to you, God, I pray that you would encourage us and challenge us and empower us to be the type of people that goes out and can be and is a bringer in our spheres of influence, who can bring people into what you're doing, not only here at this church, but what you might want to do in their lives. God, as we consider that today, we just lift these people up that are on our hearts and on your heart. And we just pray that you would use us to reach our community and to reach our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.